Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask your grace and your wisdom to give us discernment of the beast kingdom, how to deal with it, how to deal with it in the world, how to deal with it in us. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to do Preserved from the Beast, number 5. And this first revelation was given to Elena Timoshuk on 3/29/21. And we called it The Poison of the Beast Exposed, God's Elect Preserved. Amen. I dreamed I was taking a walk with my husband David. And our thinking is that David, the husband, represents our heavenly husband, Jesus, or the man-child ministry, or Jesus in the man-child ministry, with whom we are walking out our faith in this life. She said, we were going through a field with tall grass, and the tall grass represents the flesh, since all flesh is as grass, Peter said, and this tall grass needs to be cut down in our lives so that we can overcome the flesh nature, right? There was a spider in the grass that bit me. And I think the spider represents the many-legged curse of death for walking in the flesh or in the grass, right? And I told my husband, representing, I believe, confession and repentance, and he looked at my leg and said it was a poisonous spider and we need to get this poison out of your leg, meaning out of your walk, right? The deep state beast is literally spreading poisonous mRNA injections among the world's population in order to depopulate the planet. And also, spiritually speaking, the faction in the church and the mainstream media are spreading poisonous disinformation, lies, and slander, which has caused many to stumble in their walk. We have to guard against this poison by obeying the Word of God and holding fast to our confession of faith and really not spending any time listening to these entities, right? Obviously, you have to protect your ear gate, you know, and let only that which is holy come in. We went into a beautiful glass building. It almost looked like a greenhouse. Well, the greenhouse, being under the light of the sun, S-O-N, is a place of maturity where the curse can be cut out. Claire was there, and my husband told her what happened. She said she could help me, and then he went outside and left me with her. Claire took hold of my leg, and she cut out the area where the poison was, and she told me, now I'll be okay. All right. Well, Claire here, I believe, represents those who are more mature in the Lord, helping others to grow and mature in the Lord, too. Titus 2, 1 through 8 says, but speak thou the things which befit the sound doctrine. Obviously, this is what we need to overcome the world, right? That aged men be temperate, grave, sober-minded, sound in faith, in love, in patience, and that aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers or enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Amen. The younger men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself an example of good works, in thy doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of us. Well, amen. That's necessary. And she said, we looked out the window, and I saw Rian and my husband together. They were working on one of the bushes in the garden, and the whole garden was being rebuilt around the building to make it more beautiful. Amen. That's, of course, sanctifying the saints, I would say. And the garden is God's garden, where his plants from the greenhouse can be transplanted for more maturity, right? Yeah. And as we were watching them, I mentioned to Claire a struggle I was going through with my husband, and she gave me some real relationship advice. I don't remember what she said to me or what I confided to her. The struggle to submit to our heavenly husband, Jesus, and his word is a struggle, but Jesus died to give us the power to overcome the poison of the sin nature that we are born with. And of course, elderly advisors are also helpful. They can remind us of Scripture, put good words in our... they've assimilated in themselves, of course, the Word of God and how it's manifested through us, and they're able to give that on to others, right? Amen. I prayed for a word for this dream by faith at random and received Habakkuk 3 and 2. Using 2 through 6 in context. O Lord, I have heard the report of thee, and am afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman. Eliphaz the Temanite and Edomite was factious and persecuted Job with lies and slander. And the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had rays coming forth from his hand. And there was the hiding of his power. And before him went the pestilence. I got to tell you, the pestilence is coming now before the coming of the Lord manifested in the man-child. Not the rapture, but manifesting in the man-child to lead God's people. So before him went the pestilence, and fiery bolts went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. And the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills did bow. His goings were as of old. Oh, wouldn't we love to see that? People say, well, why don't we see some of the wonderful and awesome miracles? Oh, we will. We will. We are. In fact, yes, we are. And it'll be as of old, right? And I believe that we're just before this time now, and it will bring correction and restoration to the church. The deep state is bringing pestilence, etc., and the Red Sea will bring restoration. Amen? because the Red Sea is there to take out the old man. And that's just another way of saying sanctification, right? Okay, then we have this revelation. All of these are about really conquering the beast, you know, and the beast in the world and the beast in ourselves. And we call this one deep state staged production, an attack on the bride. And this was given to Eve Brast on 4/12/21. I dreamed that it was nighttime, and I found myself and others from UVM in a scene that looked like a riot scene in a city. There were various fires burning in different locations around the city, and vehicles turned over on their sides, representing probably the vehicles of lives overturned, and debris scattered all over the place and throughout the streets. It looked like a war zone. And he said, this is happening literally and spiritually. We have seen riots break out across the U.S. since June of 2020 that were orchestrated by the deep state. And also there has been a spiritual attack on the elect among God's people through witchcraft, distractions, slander, so on and so forth. The fiery darts of the enemy have kept people very, very busy, on the run, wasting our time, and have hindered our walk and our ability to spend time in God's Word. That's where those distractions come in. Things that are not important to eternity or making you fit for eternity are a waste of time, especially in these days. There was an American Indian chief that was the leader of the riot and rebellion that had arisen, and who was also assigned by the deep state as an agent provocateur. Well, that was in Eve's dream. And there was just such a man who helped to lure ignorant right-wing people into the Capitol in order to implicate the right wing and Trump as the evildoers, right? They were the rioters. The deep state always blames you for what they do. That's the deep state, and the church does that. The faction in the church does that. And the faction in the world does that. That's what they do. Confusion. Babylon. They're members of Babylon, right? So his main mission was to hunt me down and kill me with his poison-tipped arrows. And of course, they were doing exactly that in the Capitol thing, you know, making accusations against the right wing, who were just suckered into the situation, and blaming it on Trump, too, who had nothing to do with it whatsoever. Even though he was dressed as an Indian, which this guy was, I could tell he was a mulatto, a mixture of black and white, and not of true American Indian descent. This leader represents the propaganda and the deceptions of the deep state that are causing so much confusion and chaos in the country, and discouragement as well, dividing and conquering the masses. It's also representative of slanderous and lying witchcraft spirits that have been sent against the bride and God's elect in the church to try to destroy us and to get us to fall away from the Word of God. He had others with him that were also mulatto Indians, but they were mainly in charge of creating chaos and wreaking havoc on society. The chief wore a full Indian headdress and buckskin pants and moccasins. If I'm not mistaken, this guy did. but he had no shirt on. And, of course, this guy did, too. You'll probably remember watching the video of that. So, just like the agent provocateur that we just spoke of, that's who this is. The colors of the feathers in his headdress were red, green, yellow, and his face and body were also painted in these same colors, which his were. The poison-tipped arrows he had made had feathers on the ends that matched his headdress. The arrow tips themselves were gray and metallic, and they were four-bladed arrow tips that were extremely sharp at the tips. He had made the poison himself that he had dipped his arrows in. Okay. Well, Psalm 52, 2-4 says, "Thy tongue deviseth very wickedness, like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness." Selah. "Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." Well, most of these people are well practiced at deceiving and manipulation, and they got demons of the same, you know. And, of course, you know, from the devil's viewpoint and from his standpoint, he wants to take down the bride. The bride is dangerous, and I think that's who Eve represents here, is dangerous to his kingdom. The church is not dangerous to his kingdom. They don't know faith. They don't know spiritual warfare. They don't know how to come against the devil and win, or that they have the authority to come against him and win, or that it is an opportunity even to come against the devil and win. So, he had no bow to shoot them with, so he had to throw them at me, and the others like a spear. And every time he threw one at me, I would duck, and the arrow would either fly over my head or just fall short at my feet. Yes, that reminds me of another, back in 2011, a faction that was started by a bunch of perverted people. They were in a tank, and they shot at me, but the shells just fell at my feet. And really, they couldn't do any harm. It was all, training. She went on to say, "The enemy is weaker to harm us than we think. He's only there to make trial of us and to try to keep us on the run and caught up in a false reality that distracts and busies us and keeps us away from the Word and keeps us preoccupied with a false sense of danger." Yeah, you understand he begins to paint this picture in your mind of how dangerous this is and how damaging it could be and so on and so forth. And really, it's the Lord who is in control. You know, he is testing, he is trying. He wants to see if you will hold fast to the Word. Of course, if you don't, you lose ground. If you do, the devil can't do anything with you. So, "The Indian chief was pursuing me relentlessly throughout the dream. And if he could harm or kill the others who were with me, then that was just a bonus to him. I knew that this main assignment was to kill me." Well, the factious leader has repeatedly tried to do this with his witchcraft and has killed others for which God has shown he will die. We've had very vivid dreams of his death, of his going through the tunnel to darkness instead of light, etc. He said the only way that the enemy can kill us is if we don't keep casting down his fiery darts and the vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God and his word. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God, to the casting down of strongholds." Casting down imaginations. You see, there it is. He manipulates things on the outside and then gives you these vain imaginations, which puts you in this false scenario and false danger and so on. "And every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Amen. Leon and I ran up onto a higher level, like a fire escape balcony, only larger. There was an old vehicle parked up there, and Leon ran around to the passenger side to duck for cover. He had a gray t-shirt and jeans on. And she said the gray t-shirt could represent death to self. Leon means lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion, right? The scripture says. The fire escape represents our vehicle escaping the fiery trial by resting in the promises of God's word. See, this is what the devil wants to do when you're in a battle with the wicked around you, who are members of the body of the beast, or a battle with your mind, the mind of the flesh, which is a member of the beast too. They want to paint this scenario that you are going to lose, that you are losing, and it's real bad, you know, and that, oh, what can happen, you know? But you not have to cast down these vain imaginations. These foolish people are very, very clearly shown in the scriptures as losers. And they always will, because God declared it. And the thing that makes them losers, of course, is when you stay on the Word of God. Stand strong on the Word of God and hold fast to that. Your trial, your warfare is all over when you pass the test. See, it is a test. It, like she said, it's not as dangerous as it looks, you know. That's not to say you can't be carried away, because if you keep losing the tests, the Lord lets you go into the beast camp. Yeah. Like what happened to them. Suddenly an arrow came flying in Leon's direction and landed in his upper left chest area, between his heart and his shoulder. He stood up and said, "Hey, I've been hit. Can anyone help me get this thing out?" She said, this represents staying in right fellowship with other like-minded believers and being humble enough to confess sins and ask for help and prayer when we've been wounded by the enemy. Some people just figure they can handle it themselves, but, you know, that's what the body is made for, you know. He was pulling on the shaft of the arrow with both hands and was able to pull it out fairly easily. He didn't seem to be affected by the poison at all as he threw the arrow down on the ground. Well, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Of course, that's a good promise, but it's only effectual if you keep holding on to it and believing it and confess your sins so that you can stay in right standing with the Lord. We are the hands and feet of Christ on this earth, and it is Christ and his word in us that makes the darts and the poison of the enemy ineffective towards us. Well, the poison of the deep state words in the media and the faction can't harm those who hold to the word. That's right. Acts 28, 1 through 6. Considering the poison, right, of the serpent. And when we were escaped, then we knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarians showed us no common kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us all, because of the present rain and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out by reason of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous creature hanging from his hand, they said one to another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped from the sea, yet justice hath not suffered to live. Howbeit, he shook off the creature into the fire and took no harm." You know, if you drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. And the same thing with a snake bite, you know. But they expected that he would have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But when they were long in expectation and beheld nothing amiss that had come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Because he was obviously handling something that they knew was very deadly and would kill you quickly. Amen. I was on the driver's side and had crouched down to avoid another poison arrow, which ended up falling short at my feet. The Indian chief began running towards our position up on the fire escape, and I finally picked up the arrow and threw it back down at him. It hit him directly in the heart, and he fell backwards, dead from his own poison arrow. Well, physically speaking, you can't do such a thing as that in the kingdom, but spiritually speaking, you can. You know, the evil will return upon their own heads, as the word says so often. And God has already pronounced these judgments against them in the word, and he will bring it to pass. God said to Abraham and his seed, "I will curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you." Well, we're to bless and curse not, but that doesn't mean that God's going to do that. And a chastening, by the way, is not a curse. It's a blessing. And Paul turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. That was a blessing. A child left unattended to can get pretty rebellious, you know. A chastening is necessary to get them back in line. And in some cases, they never repent, so they're destroyed. Psalm 7, 9 through 16 says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish thou the righteous. For the righteous God trieth the minds and hearts. My shield is with God, who saveth the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, yea, a God that hath indignation every day. And if a man turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death, and he maketh his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, yea, he hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He hath made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made." We've had dreams about the faction and their scheme and what they're planning to do, actually at this particular time. But we know all about their scheme. And it's been this way up from the beginning. We just pray them down, you know. He hath made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. So God has pronounced a judgment here upon the wicked, who are constantly trying to take down the righteous. Constantly. It's because of the nature of their father who is in them. Right? His mischief shall return upon his own head. There you have it. It's pronounced by the Lord, and we believe it. And his violence shall come down upon his own pate. I then picked up his body with supernatural strength over my head and threw his dead body down upon his son. I watched as his son's head burst open and was torn off by the impact, and they both fell to the ground below. Well, we know this guy, and he has a spiritual son whom he has taught and is into his own sins. This spiritual son, who has received these demons from the leader, has the same exact sins. Thief, liar, slanderer, fornicator, adulterer, etc. Yeah. So their fall also took out another Indian that was right behind the son and killed him too. And she says, not only will their evil be returned upon their own heads, but their fruit will be destroyed in the process. This is true. They become more and more beastly, which is a judgment, of course, on them because of their unrighteous attacks on others. Total unforgiveness, which, of course, turns them over to the tormentors. As Jesus said, the Father himself turns them over to the tormentors. So and many times they're so corrupt they don't even know that they're corrupt. They're very self-righteous about their corruption. You can see it, you know, in the natural, you know, on the news when these crazy people go nuts and they don't even know what they're nuts about, you know, but they are. 2 Peter 2:10-12 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of defilement and despise dominion. They always despise dominion. Not the dominion of their wicked leaders, because these are wicked. These are the devil. We're talking about good dominion. They despise good dominion. Factions all through the Bible rose up against the good dominion. People who were ruled by the Lord and themselves had authority given from God. So, daring, self-willed, yes, they tremble not to rail at dignities, of which they are not. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, bring not a railing judgment against them before the Lord. But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals, to be taken and destroyed. That's God's opinion of them. Railing in matters whereof they are ignorant. Yes, that's exactly what they do. Shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. Now this is a good description of the beast in the church and in the government, whose purpose it is to cause God's people to fall. And, you know, obviously, those that hold to the word pass the test because the word is a weapon that they can't do anything about. In fact, if you talk about the armor of God, when you look at each piece of the armor of God, it all has to do with putting on the word, right? After a short pause in time, everyone got up off the ground. This is interesting. They got up off the ground where they lay, or they dropped out of their character portrayals, as if the main director of the movie set we were all on had just yelled, cut. So everybody dropped their place, their part, you know, at this particular point. What does that show? Well, and she went on to say, and all the actors began walking off the stage, going on their respective ways, as if their jobs were done and the production was over. Well, if you see it from the spiritual realm, it's really not the danger that you think it is. It's kind of a charade. Because when the demons in the wicked are finished testing the righteous, it will be over. And the overcomers will be rewarded and the wicked rejected. It's a test. It's not a test to destroy you. It's a test to for you to decide if you want to be destroyed or not. Some people cooperate with the devil very well and they get destroyed. And sometimes they have good counselors around them that can tell, no, you're thinking is stinking. You know, you got your eyes on the problem and not on the Savior, you know. Anyway, she said, I suppose the main director is God the Father. The Bible says that he creates the good and the evil. God will bring an end to all the deceptions, the distractions, and the lies, and he will expose them all. And then all of the elect will see the truth as a great revival springs forth from the ashes. And, well, this is true, and it is a test, and when it's over, it's over. When you've overcome something, you don't need to go through that again. Remember, people talk so much about going around in the wilderness, right? But you can go around the mountain again because you don't have an interest in getting it right or don't know how to get it right the first time. Or you can just keep doing that and never grow up, you know. Isaiah 45, 5 through 7 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. He is sovereign. He's never made a devil that could whoop him. That would be foolish. You know, he is sovereign over vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Read Romans 9, for instance. You see, there is a control over this whole situation. If you decide that you're going to listen to the devil more than God and you're not going to be a believer, you're going to get trouble, you know. I was dumbfounded. It had all been so real and felt so real. I had no idea that I had been swept into some kind of a production or false reality. Yeah, the thinking is what does that. I felt like so much of my time had been wasted by these bad or false actors. So she says, on the world's stage, the question for God's elect is, will you get caught up in the drama and distracted and deceived by it, or will you press into his word and his promises to you and overcome the fiery darts of the evil one and his bad actors? Amen. Psalm 7 and 9 says, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish thou the righteous. For the righteous God trieth the minds and hearts. That's what he's doing. He's testing. Why not overcome? And then I woke up. Very, very cool and very true, too. And Isaac Payne received this revelation, which is being related by Garrett Crawford. And we called it the alien deception. The beast reveals its true identity. And this was December of 2020. So Garrett said, Isaac Payne shared this dream with me, and as he told it, I saw Revelation chapter 13 so clearly. I asked Isaac if he was familiar with that chapter, and he said no, he had never read it. Without knowing, Isaac was being shown a deeper meaning of Revelation 13. And you know, we've talked about that there's different levels of parables out there. Many times people war against somebody else's revelation when they're not seeing on their level. You know, God's got many things he can reveal from the same text. Revelation 13, 1 through 10 says, "And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads." That's the world beast, right? "And on his horns, 10 diadems or crowns, and upon his heads, names of blasphemy." Oh, yes, there, the world glorifies its own, right? "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority." Well, this is the world beast, and it's a mixture of all the beasts and all mankind, because the beast is made up of lost mankind. "And I saw one of his heads as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wandered after the beast." Why would that happen? Because they are by nature members of its body. They have the same nature. "And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months, or 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth for blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in the heaven." We'll come back to this later. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places while we're on the earth. There are people who are dwelling in heavenly places on the earth. There's also people who are dwelling upon the earth. And they're beast bait, basically. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them." And this is talking about their flesh, overcoming their flesh. The beast, in Jesus' day, the Roman Empire was a beast, and its purpose was to crucify the flesh of Jesus. Of course, it sent him to his heavenly kingdom and eternally, you know. "And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, even every one whose name hath not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb that hath been slain." So he has authority over the fallen people. "If any man hath an ear, let him hear. And if any man is for captivity, into captivity he goeth." You won't be able to hide from the beast and outrun the beast and all these things. If you've got the beast in you, that's what you need, right? "If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Amen. So we have to be patient and full of faith in our Father who is bringing us through this for a purpose. And that is overcoming the flesh. Isaac said, "In this dream I was standing in my woodshed observing a man holding a double-edged sword." Well, in the past, the woodshed was a place where children would be sent for chastening by their earthly fathers, right? It was a symbol of that. For many years, people talked about bringing them to the woodshed, right? So this woodshed represents spiritually the tribulation and the times leading up to it, in which God the Father brings judgment, chastening, punishment upon the lukewarm Christians who, as we're going to see, are not putting on the whole armor of God. The elect among the apostate churches have the double-edged sword of the word, but will be chastened and pursued by the beast, as well as deceived, because they don't have enough of the word in them to fully overcome their beastly nature within, or the world beast from without. You know, Jesus said, "The evil one cometh, but he hath nothing in me," meaning he can't get a grip on anything, you know, because he had nothing there to get a grip on, basically. Hebrews 12, 4 through 13 says, "For you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which reasoneth with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Of course, some people think that they're not worthy of this, they just don't deserve this, and so on and so forth. But God knows. "It is for chastening that you endure. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father chasteneth not? But if you are without chastening, whereof all have been made partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had the fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" People do get mad at God, which is crazy. He never does anything wrong, and everything for our good. And you have to start out with that thought in your mind. It will protect you from very many things. "For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed good to them, but he for our profit." He knows, he's a good father, he knows exactly what we need. "That we may be partakers of his holiness." He chastens us because he wants his holiness to live in us, because only holy people go to heaven. "All chastening seemeth for the present to be not joyous but grievous. Yet afterwards it yieldeth peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby. Even the fruit of righteousness. Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down, don't get discouraged, and the palsied knees, don't get nervous, because God gives you a whipping, right? And make straight paths for your feet, that which is lame be not turned out of the way, but rather be healed." Amen. So, she said, "This man with the sword resembled a knight." However, he wasn't wearing any armor. Yes. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 tells us about the armor. So finally, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand." Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Is not standing very, very important? It's passing the trial, isn't it? Amen. "Against the wiles of the devil." The devil is very wily. He's been conquering men for all the life of this earth, you know. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, and against the world rulers of this darkness, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is who we're battling with. The devil loves to deceive people with the thought that their enemy is that human body over there that's being driven by the exact same demons. Just remember, you might be a patriot, but they are too, you know. Oh, of course, we're right, okay? Oh, no, not according to the scriptures. War is a lust, you know. It's a wrestling with flesh and blood and not principalities and powers. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God. He keeps saying that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Do you need to stand? Of course. And you need the whole armor of God. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now you will notice that all of the armor and the offensive weapons too are found in the word of God. You're putting them on as you put on the word of God. Why should we get distracted with things that won't defend us and won't bring us into heavenly places? Verse 18 says, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. See, this is what you need to keep your mind on the right things as you go through this warfare here. The Lord will be with you to help you. Okay? And he wants us to, you know, arm up by putting on the word of the Lord. He had both his hands on the hilt of the sword, as his arms were up as high as he could possibly reach. The blade was pointing towards the ground as he was preparing to thrust the sword downward to pierce or destroy whatever was underneath him with all of his might. Well, the sword of the Spirit is good to have to fight against our enemies. It's the word of God, right? But we must put on the whole armor of God. We must eat the whole lamb for our Passover. And the lamb was the Word of God, Jesus Christ. The sum of God's Word is truth. And this is the only way to have complete and total victory over the wiles of the enemy who is against our lives. As I walked closer to observe, I saw two bales of hay, one on the left and the other on the right. The knight, without any armor, was aiming for a gap in between the two hay bales. Underneath the bales of hay was a small vampire beast laying on the floor. The vampire beast represents the body of those who bite and devour one another by their evil words, turning others into beasts also. And this is exactly what happens when the faction speaks things in your ear you're not supposed to listen to. And when you disobey the word of God, you open yourselves up. And especially when you get unforgiving, you open yourselves up to the demons in that person speaking to you. That's how they conquer people. But they can't conquer anybody that holds to the word or has a conscience of the word of God. The bales of hay were on top of his chest and pinning him down. Oh, he was in bondage to these bales of hay on his chest, right? I think the bales of hay represent the wood, hay, and stubble in our lives and the lives of the people around us that the beast hides underneath. It must be burnt up through the trials in the fiery furnace of tribulation so that we can bear the fruit of Christ in our lives 30, 60, and 100 fold. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, who is what? The Word." Okay. "But if any other man buildeth on the foundation, gold and silver, costly stones," that all sounds good, "or wood, hay, and stubble," that don't sound so good, "the worthlessness of those people that are made up of the wood, hay, and the stubble, are by nature the things that keep them in bondage, just like these hay bales. Each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire." In other words, he's losing his reward. even though he might be saved, he's losing his reward because he's losing his fruit. So we go through these fiery trials, and of course we have to hold to the Word. It is our armor, and it is our offensive weapons, right? If we don't do that, we will lose. The fiery trial will burn up our work. It will be found not to be eternal. Many people's work is not eternal, right? The vampire beast's heart was the target between the two hay bales. Well, yeah, the heart of the beastly nature is God's target in his elect. And the corporate beast is his target after he is done using the beast to crucify his elect, right? That's God's MO. He first uses a very wicked vessel to torment and to crucify you, and then he turns on them, right? For one of them, the first one is just chastening. The second one is destruction. You look at the person who has faction, whether he's in the state faction or whether it's in the church faction. They're destroyed. Look at them. They got no conscience. The curse is all over them, and everything they do is cursed. So that's destruction. The gap was 4 to 6 inches wide between the bales, right? The knight, without armor, stabbed the vampire beast in the center of the heart. I could hear the noise of flesh separating as the sword was piercing the vampire beast's heart. The knight stabbed the beast 3 times in the heart as I heard its flesh splitting open. Well, we know the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, separates the soulish life from the spirit life. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the Word of God will help us to discern those thoughts and intents, right? When we're in the battle, it's to win against them too, right? And it also divides between what is soulish and what is spiritual, as we see in that text. We need the Word of God. We don't need to waste our time in this world with unfruitful endeavors that don't have any application to the eternal life, right? And after the third stroke of the sword to the heart of the vampire beast, the knight without armor stood proud, looking towards my direction with a confident smile, thinking that he had killed it. There's a lot of people think that when it's not true. Revelation 13, 3 through 5 says, "And I saw one of his heads as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wandered after the beast." Now this beast was a many-headed beast, which symbolized beasts throughout history, right? And when you think you've conquered one and it's over and now we can have this wonderful time because there's no more beast out there. Well, in order for there to be no more beast out there, there has to be no more beastly people out there, because this beast is made up of beastly people. And if you killed one, there'd be another stand up in his place. "And the whole earth wandered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon," because, and of course that's the devil in a body of the beast, right? As is described in Revelation 12. "Because he gave his authority unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to war with him?" Well, they worship him because he is their own corporate nature, which is Antichrist. "And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months. Okay, so you know we're coming to this day that we're reading about here in Revelation 13. And people around us think that they're about to conquer the beast. Well, there is a Red Sea destruction, but that's still a temporary thing. You know, the Israelites went out in the wilderness after their corporate beast was destroyed at the Red Sea, and guess what they found? They found that they were beasts. They took it with them. Yeah. "Next I saw the vampire beast arise from what was presumed death and sling the two bales of hay off of itself. It stood up as the knight was in dismay, and it began to growl and was no longer subdued." Well, you remember our text, right? The one of the heads was wounded unto death, you know, and resurrected. You know why? Because, you know, you could have a war, wiped out people, but still there's the children. And guess what? They've got Adamic nature been passed on to them. The beast lives in them. You never can quite destroy the beast. Now, they can go out there and destroy every wrongdoer that they can find, but guess what? They've got a seed that's coming along, just like the seed of all these previous kingdoms is with us today in a United Nations of sorts, right? We know through the leadership of President Trump over the next few months and the rollout of Nasara Jisara, 1,000 years of peace, which is total deception. Only New Age people can come up with goofy stuff like that. Those who know the nature of man will never buy it, right? It's going to seem to many that mankind has overcome Satanism and the current satanic deep state rulership over the world. But we know what the Bible says in Revelation. The beast will transform into a more powerful entity through greater deceptions and cause all who dwell in the earth to take its mark and worship it, revealing the true nature of man. Why would man worship the beast? Because he is the beast. He is the same nature of the beast. He is a member of the body of the beast. Only faith in the crucifixion of the flesh of Christ can destroy the beast individually. If you say no, you must believe that there's a salvation outside of Jesus Christ. But you can't see it out there. It's just not there. The New Agers will become more corrupt as we go. Right now, people think, okay, well, they kind of think like us. We'll, you know, yeah, they will be your persecutors one day. And they are even today. When they get together, they talk against you. Yeah. The New Agers will become more and more corrupt as we go because there's no change of nature in them. They're not born again. They have a theory of morality that's not reflected by their fallen nature. Suddenly, I was transported to a coastal region. I was standing on a dirt or sandy road. On my right were jagged rock cliffs and elevated rocky terrain of what appeared the slope of a mountain. And you know mountains are kingdoms, right? And on my left was a sea cliff, and the horizon was the ocean or the sea. Okay, well, the rocky cliffs could be there to represent where the righteous will take refuge in the clefts of the rock, who is Jesus Christ, or Mount Zion, right? And the ocean or the sea represents the peoples, nations, tongues, just like the book of Revelation says, of the worldly kingdoms of the earth. Amen. The small vampire was standing in the road between the two landscapes. At this point, it had the face of a man. He wasn't aware that I was watching. Well, we know that the prophetic dreams and visions reveal to us what the beast is doing. I mean, we always see what they're up to. What is their purpose? So on and so forth. He was trying to access his power and skills. He tried time and time again, but couldn't access any evil powers or skills that a vampire beast would have. Well, it's kind of like those who practice witchcraft, right? They're practicing their skills, and they're evil, even though they don't consider themselves evil. People are carried away by many things which they think are good. But somebody who is good can look at them and say, that's bad. Well, vampires represent those who kill others spiritually by infecting them with their same nature or life. And Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's natural. It's a natural degenerative process. How come so many old people end up in nursing homes, as crazy as they can be? It's a life of sin. Yeah. It is the end of a degenerative process. This represents people who corrupt others and people who are corrupted by their own flesh, by the lusts of their flesh. Galatians 5:15-21. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. As when someone is overcome by the words or the sins of another person, like happens with the faction in the church or state or some other cult, you know, they're overcome by them. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. If you do the things that you would, your flesh is going to grow. You will get further from God. Because he goes on to say, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, by the way, same word, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why is it that Christians can't read this simple statement here and believe it and fear the Lord and fear sin and walk away? Some of them don't know the good news of the gospel, really. They think it's except Jesus. So they really have no power, and they just throw up their hands and forget and walk away, you know. Well, out of nowhere, there appeared a much bigger, stronger, and more experienced vampire beast. This one had the face of a man also. So the junior vampires are coming into the image of the world vampire beast, right? Both vampires were wearing dark cloaks, which means, I believe, hiding their darkness. Yes, they want to look respectable. The bigger beast was teaching the smaller one how to access his powers and skills. Well, the world beast operates through lost mankind in order to infect and to deceive others. That's why they both wore the face of a man, because they are the face of a man. And what is behind the face? Well, the beast, the body of the beast. Revelation 13:16 through 18 says, and he causes all, the small and the great, all, and the rich and the poor, and the free and the bond, that there be given them a mark on their right hand or upon their foreheads. Well, look, all are the beast, because they're being marked as members of the body of the beast. All. Nobody's saved without coming to Christ and losing their old life. Nobody. Don't matter if their religion teaches that they're really good people. 17, and that no man should be able to buy or to sell save he that hath the mark, even the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now we see that all kinds of technology is now coming to the surface to cause people to submit to the world beast. Here is wisdom, he that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. There's that face of a man again. You want to know who the beast is? Look at the people around you. Their beastly nature reveals who they are. And his number is 666. Well, we know that to be the number of Antichrist, right? The beastly flesh and the corporate world beast are Antichrist. It is their nature. Everyone that's not born again is a beast, as Solomon said very clearly. I watched as the bigger, more experienced beast demonstrated to the smaller beast how to use his authority in these powers. Suddenly, the bigger beast took off his human face, which was like a mask, and revealed its true identity. It is the demon nature. They are born of Satan. Jesus said, "You are from beneath." He said that to these very religious fellows who dressed really nicely, and they had authority and got respected even, for goodness sake. He said, "You're from beneath. I'm from above." Yeah. Or some versions say below. You're from below. Were they born of the devil? Of course, they tried to kill Jesus. And then they did kill him and killed all of his disciples almost. So, it's a beast. And yet, they had a respectability, the face of a man. But they're not a man. They're a beast, right? So, the beast nature hides in mankind, but is revealed through the lust of the flesh. And those who have a facade of morality will soon be separated from the saints by their own corrupt nature. Yeah, they can't stand sanctified people. They're religious people in the church. Can't stand sanctified people. They couldn't stand Jesus. They couldn't stand his disciples. They couldn't stand the prophets. They killed them all. Who's the beast here? Was there a worse beast in the world? No, they were members of the body of the worst beast in the world. They even sided with the beast in the world against Jesus and against his disciples. Did you notice? Yeah. So this was the last power or skill and authority that had to be demonstrated to the smaller beast. And then the smaller beast took its mask off too, that had resembled that of a man and was able to reveal its true identity. And of course, its true identity will be the ultimate great deception that will cause many apostate Christians to be deceived and fall away from the living God and the truth of his word, because they didn't love the truth, but rather lies. And they allowed their flesh to live. They defended their flesh. When Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. They defended that old flesh. The identity of these vampire beasts were reptilian and alien looking. Well, there's, I think, a double revelation here, because in the spirit realm and in the natural realm, they can manifest in this way. You mean that there are demons out there that look like reptilians? Yes, I do. Could the angels in the Old Testament manifest in what appeared to be the flesh because they were recognized as men? Yes, they did. And doesn't the Bible say some have entertained angels unawares? In other words, they look just like men. They thought they were men, right? Demons can do that. Now that the demons are doing this, they're deceiving the wicked and foolish world. The saints, they're not deceiving the saints. We've come to know the beast from the scriptures. They're not deceiving them. So this is twofold. When these, and by the way, I talked to people that dealt with the so-called aliens that I've known in the past. And they said, well, they can walk past through a wall. I said, well, that's not flesh. They said, that's right. That's a demon. Yeah. The skin pigment was black and blue with scales. Well, the great alien deception that's about, I believe, to be revealed to the world is a muddied mixture of the black or evil reptilian alien demons who've made contact, so to speak, with the satanic deep state elites since, the 1940s and 50s. and the blue, or so-called good alien demons, I'm still calling them demons, are making contact with our world now, supposedly to help us fight the reptilians and bring in a new world order based on 1,000 years of peace and prosperity, along with the New Age One World Religion. Yes, this is what they're working towards, you know, the good cop, bad cop method of deceiving people. See, they're all bad. This will be a religion where they claim Jesus is the creator of the alien races and that he wants us all to embrace each other and all religions because they are all led back to him. Yeah. They will claim that this unity is necessary for world peace and the counterfeit utopia of Christ's 1,000-year reign that the Bible describes in the book of Revelation. And true Christians who see through this deception are going to be viewed as the enemies of the peace and the rest, those who dwell on the earth, right, will persecute and kill those who dwell in heavenly places in Christ. You got that? Now, both of these groups are physically on the earth, but one of them dwells in heavenly places because they abide in Christ, as the scripture says in Ephesians, okay? But those who dwell on the earth, they don't have any spiritual knowledge, spiritual holiness. They could have a morality, you know, theology, but that's as deep as it goes. Just like the Pharisees. And, of course, they're going to be crucifying and killing the saints because we are a threat to their new system and the false unity and peace that they think that they've achieved. You know, Matthew 24, 23 through 25 says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is the Christ, or the Anointed, or here, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs, or false anointeds, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." Behold, well, it's not possible, but if it were possible, they would do it. "Behold, because the elect are the chosen at the end, they are the ones who bear fruit," right? "Behold, I have told you beforehand." Yeah. "They had pointy ears, long oval-like faces, and were bald. Their mouth was arrayed with pointy teeth and two fangs." Sounds familiar. "That stuck out from their mouths." This reminds me of Mariana Payne's dream of the zombie vampire members of the beast body that were infected with the vaccine virus. And which it's not. "But they spread their beastly nature on to others through their lies and slander, and they pass on through the mainstream media and the church faction this evil nature. This alien deception will also be passed on through the mainstream media and also their Project Blue Beam technology and deep fake CGI video technology that they will use to deceive people on a mass scale." Yes, and they can be deceived because they have the beast nature. They don't recognize the beast when they look at them. They see that mask. Oh, that's a human. No, it's not. It's a beast. "They stood there shuddering and shaking, making growling noises as the more experienced vampire beast supervised the smaller one. I knew that the smaller vampire beast was now full grown and its training was complete." Well, these beasts have now come to maturity. And the sins of Babylon have reached heaven. And God says, for a while, That's enough. But God is now dealing with these beasts to prove that politics is never going to reform them. Even the threat of death doesn't reform them in most cases. Even wiping them out as a temporary measure, it's because that these demons just recreate new beast members. They're born from below. We're born from above. The nature of Jesus Christ is manifested to us through the Holy Spirit and through the angels. We're born from above. The devils and demons and Satan himself are manifested from below in people. And so we see that the sons of God are being manifest and the sons of the devil are being manifest. Right? So this beast will eventually show the righteous by sifting the nations and bringing the elect into his kingdom through much tribulation. You know, I'm talking about the elect into the kingdom of God, but also there is an elect among the sons of the devil. They're coming to full maturity just like the sons of God. The rest of the wicked will be destroyed, and the apostates will be plucked out of the beast kingdom in this great end-time harvest. Amen. Okay, I'm going to shift a little bit to an article or articles to help us understand what is coming our way here. And we'll call this the Alien Beast Deception Mixed with Truth. I'll give you a link here to where you can know where to find this. A comment from a reader regarding this news article, which I'm going to quote from here, said, "Maybe we will finally get the big reveal expected since Eisenhower was president." Yes, they had relationships with Eisenhower, and he didn't know about them, and so on and so forth, and then they promptly hid all of that. Right. The big reveal, though, wasn't revealed to Eisenhower, and it's not revealed to most of the government today. We are well aware that various visitors call themselves by whatever names are acceptable in current society. Anything from, quote, ascended masters, unquote, to representatives from the Galactic Federation, quote unquote. It's the same people, same demons. The visitors are real enough. The story that they tell is deception mixed with truth. What else to expect from you know who? Well, the devil. He does use a little truth to lure people in, and he reveals more and more of himself because they get dumber and dumber as they listen, right? Mankind has made contact with an alien galactic federation, but it has been kept secret because humanity isn't ready, they say. A former head of Israel's space security program claims. Oh, people in authority are saying this, the Galactic Federation. Most of the world leaders are deceived by this, and they're about to permit the deception of all of humanity, a lost humanity, in this way. And this is by Tim Stickings in 12-8-20. An Israeli space official has claimed that aliens are real and secretly in contact with America and Israel, and this is true, but are keeping their existence quiet because humanity isn't ready, quote-unquote. Haim Eshed, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I'm trying, who was head of Israel's space security program for nearly 30 years and is a retired general, described a so-called Galactic Federation, which supposedly runs an underground Mars base in a secret pact with Washington. Okay, this guy should know. He's a general, and he's been at it for 30 years, and he knows that the leadership is deceived by this. How many Christians do you know that head up governments? Okay. And even if they claim to be Christian, do they end up actually being? No, they don't. Okay. So who can be deceived? These people. But the aliens had to intervene to stop Donald Trump when he appeared on the verge of blurting out their secrets, he told the Israeli paper Yediot Ahronot. I think I'm pronouncing that somewhere close. And the 87-year-old Eshed says, he's old enough to know better, right? Says the aliens will not come into the open until humanity can evolve and reach a stage where we will understand what space and spaceships are. Okay, he's got the higher knowledge. But he doesn't know Jesus Christ. If he knew Jesus Christ, he would know these are demons. Eshed did not say how long the aliens have been hiding in the shadows, but said some of the supposed contact had taken place during Trump's presidency. Yes, now I don't know if President Trump knows this or not, whether these are aliens or demons. I don't know. Okay, I don't know that. He may be deceived on this point. He can be wised up one day. Speaking of an agreement between the U.S. government and the alien visitors, Eshed said the extraterrestrials wanted to work with American agents to study the fabric of the universe. Well, I can tell you that the demons know very well the fabric of the universe. But they do want to deceive step by step humans and then use these humans against the Christians who are just ignorant. The aliens have asked not to announce that they are here because humanity is not ready yet. Yes, there's still too much Christianity and knowledge of Christianity out there. Eshed told the Hebrew language newspaper Yediot Ahronot, according to Jewish Press, Trump was on the verge of revealing alien existence, but the aliens in the Galactic Federation are saying, wait, let people calm down first. In other words, we've got to pervert them a little bit more so they can accept us. Amen. They have been waiting for humanity to evolve and reach a stage where we will generally understand what space and spaceships are, said Eshed. There's an agreement between the U.S. government and the aliens. They signed a contract with us to do experiments here. They, too, are researching and trying to understand the whole fabric of the universe, and they want us as helpers. Oh, yes. They want to take you to their universe. There's an underground base in the depths of Mars, and maybe at the South Pole too, where their representatives are, and also are American astronauts, Eshed is reported to have said. So they're saying that we have astronauts on Mars. Mm-hmm. The former space official claimed that he had come forward now in the unlikely hope that his revelations would be accepted as true. Yep, he's just a nut. If I had come up with what I'm saying today 5 years ago, I would have been hospitalized, he told the Israeli paper. Every place that I went to in academia with this, they said, the guy has lost his mind. I have nothing to lose. I've received my degrees and awards. I am respected in universities abroad, where the trend is also changing. Yes, it is. because the liberals are taking over the schools, the colleges, so on and so forth, and they are the dumbest people out there. And they will accept this goofiness because they don't have a revelation of aliens in the Bible. As head of the Israeli Defense Ministry Space Directorate, Eshed helped launch spy satellites, which he said would help provide high-quality surveillance of Iran. When he retired in 2011, he was even described in Israeli media as the father of Israel's satellite program. But after leaving his role as the defense ministry, he is said to have turned to what really interests him, aliens. Yes, they are aliens, but they're demons. They can appear to have flesh. They can walk through walls. They can fly at extreme speeds. Yes. Eshed is described as a researcher who believes that the human race is not alone in the universe and that it must fit into the harmony of the great plan. Trump, whether secretly in league with aliens or not, unveiled America's new Space Force last year, the first new military service in the United States for more than 70 years. The Pentagon said in August this year, by the way, that it was setting up a new task force under the U.S. Navy to investigate UFO sightings or to deceive people into believing that these are aliens, right? In April, U.S. defense chiefs released three videos taken by Navy pilots showing mid-air encounters with unexplained objects. Well, first of all, they could be objects unexplained and even manifested in the sight of people and still not be there. The devil has a way, just like God has, of making you see things apparently with your eyes that are not even there, but you are seeing them with your mind. And humans can do that. God can enable the saints to have this gift of discernment and see things that other people don't see. The demons have that too. Just people given over to them, you know. The grainy black and white footage had previously been leaked, and the Navy had acknowledged that they were genuine videos. And one of the videos was shot in November 2004, and the other two in January 2015. A YouTube channel video by Expat Gal, December 5th, 2020, Israeli News Live, quote, Israel's former head of space program discloses alien presence, unquote. And then I give the video here that you can look at it if you want to, in case you don't believe the leadership does believe in these things. Well, note here from Expat Gal, aliens are the fallen ones and demons. Yeah, because that's what Christians believe. We have been expecting this disclosure, likely to be used as an explanation for the disappearance of people in the rapture. I don't agree with that. I don't think you can worry about that right now. But there are other reasons for them to be here, to deceive people into the one world order. But you see, these people don't think they're ever going to see the beast. So therefore, they think that they're coming to rapture people. If people do get raptured in the state that they are, not in the state of living as the fruit of Christ, they probably are demons. Yet another sign of how close we are to the end time events kicking into high gear. Make sure your spiritual house is in order. And this is just the beastly earth coming into full agreement with their demon lords. They've known these demons. They didn't appear as aliens. They've known these demons. They've been tempted by these demons, and they've given in to these demons. They've been born from beneath by these demons. And just because they have a different face, they don't recognize them. But the reason they like them is because they're of the same nature. Now, here's one: full UFO disclosure from all U.S. government agencies is due June the 1st, 2021. And this is 3/23/21. Full disclosure regarding UFOs is due from the Pentagon on June the 1st, 2021 in the USA. I have been wondering a couple of different things regarding this subject. One is, what will be revealed? Will they have a gray alien or a tall white alien standing next to them? Then, what do we see after disclosure has been made? I guess that's three questions so far, but I have many more. One thing I do believe that will happen is the fake alien invasion, also called Project Blue Beam. It may have been changed since the name was first revealed back in the early 90s, but the goals of the project would remain the same: trick humanity into believing that everything we've been told is a lie. The real gods are the aliens. They created us, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And the goal here, of course, is to morph all of the world's major religions into one giant unity religion with the false prophet, the next pope, he has in the note here. No, I don't consider that true, even though he is a false prophet. There are many heads of other religions that are all joined together in that situation. So you can't just put that on the pope. Even though he's totally corrupt, absolutely. As the head of this new religion, Pope Francis has already been hard at work trying to unite the three major religions with the new disclosures. They will even try harder. This, of course, will result in war, chaos, death for a while, until nations are exhausted. Then the plan is to move everyone into the New World Order government and religion. Now we're starting to see why Deagle.com's predictions on population in the USA may be true after all. Yes, the great loss of populations. We need to be ready for this by staying close to Jesus in all times in prayer, seeking his wisdom and discernment, especially now. That's why I stay prayed up first, because we never know what's coming next and we don't want to be deceived. And then there's some videos here you can look at. And below is my video where I briefly detailed Project Blue Beam and what it can and will do in the near future. It gets into voice to skull tech, nanotech, and much more. Full disclosure, June the 1st, 2021. I've also included a video about the fake alien invasion that goes into more detail and has some great production behind it. From what we know, YT Channel, and there you go. Now you've got something else to share with fellow believers. Now, let me just talk about the attacks against God's people by the beast and their plagues, you know, from the air, through vaccines, whatever, you know. This story, I'm sure you may have read it on our site. It's very good. It was given to Annette Rich back in February of 1994. She said, "I did not want to get up, but the Spirit of the Lord would not let me stay in bed and urged me to get up and write down this dream. I dreamed there was an order given that everyone was to register. All people with degrees and knowledge had to declare these facts. I want to tell you, this is common when communism takes over. They destroy the people that have knowledge. They want the ignorant masses. They'll save them but they want to destroy the people that have knowledge. So could this registration be part of the vaccine passport that the deep state wants us to have to participate in the global economy or travel or whatever, you know? And also, it has already been written in the Patriot Act that was passed after 9/11 that FEMA would be required or would require everyone with special skills and medical knowledge to report these facts to the government in preparation for involuntary recruitment against the will of the people. We then had to be sure our homes were airtight around the doors and windows. Well, I think this is clearly representing that the lockdowns that occurred during 2020 and future lockdowns due to greater plagues being released upon the population, right? Like COVID-21, which was found in the Evergreen ship, right? They haven't sprung that one on us yet, but they need to make money off these vaccines. And so they will vaccine you to death and dumb you down at the same time. The deep state are not only depopulationists, but they need money. And that comes from their never-ending vaccines. And this will achieve complete and total compliance of the people, eventually forcing them and funneling them into the beast system. Then we had to go rally at an open-air stadium, and there were many, many people. Now, so I think this represents on a larger scale what's going on around the world as the communists seek once again to take over. The masses are being gathered unto the beast and his kingdom. All of a sudden, I started to say, make it short, make it short. And others joined in this saying, and it became a throng. In other words, hurry up, get through with this, we got to get out of here. Yes, Matthew 24, 20-24. And except those days had been shortened, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Make it short, make it short. Then if a man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or here, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. Yep. I needed to get out of there and started to make comments such as, I'm God's child. The air is purified around me. In other words, declaring, right? The angels of the Lord are around me. The blood of Jesus saves me. Amen. Good confessions, right? And just remember this when you're sprayed by the chemtrail plagues in order to poison bodies, food, water, etc. I had other people around me and many behind me, some I knew and others I did not. Well, the multitudes need to know somebody like this, right? So that they will know how to escape in Christ. The curse through repentance and faith in the promises of God. The gospel is real. The authority we have is real. If you don't exercise it, it won't do you any good. Birds fell straight out of the sky, dead. People fell dead. Many were getting weak as we marched straight on. I kept repeating the above sayings. Amen. Psalm 91:5-11 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Amen. And here and there someone said, I can't do it anymore. Well, we know that many who start out with us will fall away from the faith and perish in these end times. I kept walking and said, this is not a worthy statement of a child of God. I agree 100%. Repeat what I say. And then I would repeat the above and other scriptures. Amen. You have to teach people how it works, right? I was urged from within to keep my eyes straight ahead and not upon death. I urged others to do the same. Keep your eyes off the death. Get your eyes on the word, on the promise. Don't look at the snake bite. Look at the promise, right? We must keep our eyes on the promises of the Word of God and not on the curses around us. Our eyes must be single, right? Amen. There was a white film over everything. It was coming down. It covered trees and was most illuminative. It also felt like it was giving health, strength, and light, and helped us to walk ahead. I suppose this represents something that is not physical, you know. The Lord will supernaturally counteract the bad chemtrails with His Spirit and discernment for those of us who have love for the truth and the Word, and He will light our way through the dark times of the beast. Amen. So, our power is the power of confession. If we confess Him before men, He, our high priest of our confession, will confess us before the Father. And that is to speak the same as. The Lord has delivered us from the curse. He put the curse upon Jesus Christ so that we didn't have to bear it. If your conscience is clean, that's the first thing you need, is a clear conscience. Confess your sins. And He will be faithful to forgive you of all of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. So then that puts you in a position of being able to believe and speak the Word of God. You know, we're justified by our faith in believing that Jesus bore our sins and the sin nature upon Himself. And now the curse is upon Him, because the sin nature is upon Him, and we have been set free. And therefore, justification by faith gives us a right to all the benefits and all the authority of the kingdom. Amen. Baby Christians can exercise authority if they have a mind that has been given over to the Lord. They're justified by faith and not by their works. They can speak into existence all the benefits of the kingdom. And that's what we're called to do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's a command, by the way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We are the ones who bring heaven down. It should be happening all around us because we confess the Word of God. And we teach others to do the same. Even lost people, you can witness to them about your authority and how God gave you that authority and demonstrate it for them, and they'll see the results sometimes, you know. It's good news to them to know that they're not helpless, that the Lord hasn't left them in this situation if they will only believe His word, right? That's what we're called to do, be ministers of reconciliation. And reconciliation means exchange. We minister the exchange. We teach them so that they can put their sins upon that cross and they can take the life of Jesus to themselves, an exchange, you see. And we're able to teach them this reconciliation that's been already accomplished by Jesus so that they too can reach out for these benefits and be surprised by the signs and wonders and miracles that they see. Amen. Isn't it good? Great revival's coming, saints. Get ready. The Lord has some awesome surprises for us. His kingdom is coming. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Well, Father, thank you so much for these words, these gifts that you've given to your children to share with the brethren out there. Thank you so much for this, Lord. It encourages us. It helps us to understand the beast and why people can't overcome the beast without Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Father, in the name of Jesus. Well, all right, saints, God bless and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.